You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for joining us. The JX starts today with the debrief, where JPR reporters discuss the stories they've been covering this week, including a legal battle over a Shasta County ballot measure and the financial outlook for Southern Oregon University. I'm Maria Carter, JPR's news director.
And I'm Jane Vaughn, housing, homelessness, and education reporter.
Reporter Roman Battaglia is out today, but here's a recording of our conversation yesterday about the latest in Shasta County. Roman, you've been covering the June primary election results out of Shasta County. It sounds like there have been some updates about a controversial ballot measure there. What's the latest?
Yeah, so voters approved this ballot measure, Measure B, earlier this month. It would make kind of major changes to the election system in the county, like requiring that ballots be counted by hand instead of by machine, restricting mail-in voting, basically the way other absentee ballots work, and also requiring people to show photo ID when voting. There's also a lot of other changes that are also involved in this measure. The kind of big issue with all of this, though, is that a lot of what's proposed in the measure is most likely illegal under state law. And, you know, finally, we'd heard rumblings about the state attorney general, you know, filing a lawsuit or was going to eventually. And we got that late last week. We got a lawsuit filed by the attorney general, Rob Bonta, challenging this measure, trying to get it thrown out. And then we also had this week Shasta County supervisors talked about the lawsuit in a closed session. And then they came out of it and voted unanimously not to defend the lawsuit at all.
So if there are all these concerns about legality, why did voters approve it?
Yeah, and that's really hard to understand. You know, I didn't obviously talk to every voter and get their opinion on it, but, you know, and voters likely have their own different reasons for voting yes or no on different measures. But I did talk to a couple of people, including Joanna Franciscat, who's the former assistant county clerk. She just won election in that same election to become the county clerk who runs the county's election starting next year. And she told me that she believes that, you know, voters might have been a little bit misled about what this measure actually did. If you went out and looked at the signs that were put up about the measure and the promotions about Measure B, they kind of all mentioned in really big letters voter ID on there. And they didn't really mention anything else about the measure, like the hand counting or getting rid of mail-in voting for most people. So the voter ID stuff was really what they were promoting Measure B to be about. And voter ID laws are much more popular than a lot of the other changes in Measure B. So, you know, some voters might have seen the changes to voter ID and then voted for the measure based on that and then didn't see the other changes.
And so what is the attorney general saying in their lawsuit?
Yeah, so there's two main arguments that Bonta and the Attorney General's office is making. The first is more of a kind of procedural argument. He's basically claiming that the county lacks the authority to make these changes. This ballot measure was passed as a charter amendment. So counties in California can either be general law or charter law counties. They're fairly similar, but a charter county can make kind of some changes to the structure of its local government, whereas the general law county just, you know, follows whatever the state law says in terms of how counties are run. So Shasta County recently became a charter county with voter approval, you know, but in this lawsuit, Bonta is saying that, you know, well, charter counties don't actually have the authority to make changes to their election system like this. Just because they're a charter county doesn't mean they can, you know, just change everything.
It's
they still
not
have
free
to follow.
Reign.
Yeah, exactly. They still have to follow a lot of what the state law says. The second argument is the more clear one, and what we're kind of expecting is that, you know, Measure B just clearly violates state law. The hand counting, I think, is the clearest example of this because state lawmakers actually passed a law back in 2023 banning hand counting in most elections, because Shasta County was trying to hand count their elections then. So they passed a law specifically targeted at Shasta County doing that. The reason why they're against that is because hand counting has been found to be more expensive, more time consuming, and less accurate than using machines. And they also do have ways of auditing how these elections are run. But we also saw another similar example of another one of the changes this measure happened in Huntington Beach. Voters there recently passed a voter ID law and the state sued over it. And they finally lost that lawsuit this year because, you know, the voter ID laws are overruled by the state law. So they just couldn't do that. You know, we also heard that in a previous lawsuit over this ballot measure. We heard proponents say that if parts of it are found to be illegal, they could just maybe strip out those parts and keep the legal things. But, you know, this lawsuit kind of covers all the bases, Bontas. He argues that that can't happen because this measure is written in a way that it kind of serves this whole thing as a package deal, a sweeping cleanup of the county's election system. So, you know, if the illegal parts were stripped out, then the measure would be significantly different than what voters actually voted on. So it would probably just need to go to election again.
And so why did county supervisors decide not to defend this?
Yeah, well, we knew that before the election, the supervisors were not super keen on this ballot measure. You know, even some of the right-wing members of the board said they knew it was illegal and that it would face a lawsuit. The county even sued to try and stop the ballot measure, but they eventually dropped it. And then in another lawsuit by a county resident, the county decided not to defend the measure and made the citizens who supported the measure hire a lawyer to defend it themselves. So, you know, we don't actually know why supervisors are not defending the measure this time, because they talked about it in closed session. And I wasn't there, but in a story from the Record Searchlight, they did talk to some supervisors after the vote, and Supervisor Alan Long said, you know, the proponents of the measure should look to the statewide level if they want to make changes to elections, because you don't make changes to elections like this at the county level. It happens at the statewide level.
Okay. And so what happens next, Roman?
Well, we know that Rob Bonta, the attorney general, is asking the courts for an expedited review of this lawsuit. That's because preparations for the November election are going to be beginning soon. So they want to make sure that none of these changes actually happen for this election. The supporters of the measure have said that they're looking at their next steps. We don't know what they're going to do yet, but you know, they stepped in for the last lawsuit to defend it, so they could do so again. There have been no new filings in the lawsuit yet as of Thursday, so we'll kind of see. And, you know, I'm certainly going to keep everyone updated on, you know, this lawsuit as it kind of develops.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Roman.
Thanks.
And now on to Jane. Jane, what was the big news at Southern Oregon University yesterday?
So Southern Oregon University's Board of Trustees voted unanimously to approve a plan that will cut one-fifth of the university's budget, which is just over $20 million. And the goal, maybe obviously, is to keep the university financially viable long-term. The alternative, as President Rick Bailey has said, was closing the institution because the university realized back in February that it would soon not be able to make payroll. And so it's been months of turmoil to finally get to this point. And I should note off the bat that JPR is licensed to SOU, and we cover the university just like any other institution.
Okay, so cutting $20 million, a fifth of the budget, what exactly is in this plan?
There is a lot in there. It is called the Vitality Plan. It is linked on our website if any listeners want to go and parse through it. So first off, they're cutting three majors: music industry and production, financial mathematics, and human service. They're also cutting the equivalent of almost 66 full-time employees, which is a lot. There's a lot of restructuring in the plan. There's focus on academic mentorship, practical and experiential learning. The academic programs are going to be reorganized around six academic cornerstones, including things like health and civic engagement. The university is also going to plan to streamline its degree offerings and expand its stackable credentials to make it easier for kids to complete programs. There's going to be staff reductions of 8 positions in business services, 5 positions in IT. There's sort of a focus on self-sufficiency. So athletics is going to have almost $500,000 in cuts, and all the athletic programs have to be fully self-supporting by 2029. The SOU farm will have to be fully self-sustaining by the end of this calendar year. They're going to lose 2 employees. And then there's also some potential revenue opportunities, which are not finalized. So maybe partnering with the city of Ashland to locate city offices on campus, maybe establishing a La Clinica Healthcare Center on campus. So we'll have to see about that.
And remind us, how did SOU get into this position where it needed to cut $20 million?
One big thing is the lack of state funding. Oregon ranks 46th nationally in state funding per four-year student. SOU has also really struggled with declining enrollment in recent years. Leadership has also said that the university's budget and finance offices have been understaffed, that the financial reporting has been inadequate, that the financial policies at SOU need strengthening. And I should also note that this is the third major financial restructuring that the university has gone through in recent years. They just cut $10 million back in the fall. So this is not new for SOU, but it is the biggest and I would say the most existential for the university.
And what are you hearing from students about this?
It's been really hard. There's a lot of uncertainty about whether or not their program will get cut. For some of them, this is their third major cut since they've been here. The university has said that there will be a path forward for students in affected programs. They will work with the students to figure it out. But President Rick Bailey said this week that far fewer students have registered for fall classes, current students have registered for fall classes than at the same point last year. So there's a lot of uncertainty among the students, confusion, anger. They're trying to figure out what to do. And so I have a quote here from student body president Sophia Smith speaking at the Board of Trustees meeting yesterday.
This plan will continue the years of pain and hardship that our students, staff, and faculty have been unnecessarily suffering due to a failure of this board, a failure of our administration, and a failure of our institution to have created and managed a system that is self-sustaining. But we cannot allow for this failure to continue.
And so we just heard about from a student there, but what about faculty and staff? What are they saying?
They still have some concerns about the plan, whether or not we can trust the numbers in the plan, especially coming from two previous major restructurings. They're concerned about the additional work that they see this plan forcing off onto fewer staff who are already overworked, and then the more work that will happen because of it. A lot of people are just really tired. They're fatigued over the amount of change that has happened. They're stressed. They're sad. They're losing their colleagues. A lot of them are fearing for their jobs since we don't really know yet who exactly is going to be laid off. And they're basically sick of this happening over and over and over again. At the same time, some of the Board of Trustees really praised the plan. They thought President Bailey did a good job on it. They thought he took into consideration a lot of community feedback and were very detailed. So everyone agrees that we need to cut $20 million, so that's not really the issue. It's just how to do it. There was some pushback at meetings this week because some people thought the plan was not detailed enough. They wanted both more specificity and more flexibility, which is tricky.
Yeah.
So people think we're moving too fast on this plan, but they also want to know exactly what's happening when, which is hard. So here's Trustee Ashley King speaking at a committee meeting on Wednesday.
It's a tough place to be. I want three more years to figure this out, but I'd also like to know tomorrow if I have a job.
So that's kind of the getting caught between a rock and a hard place of having the specificity and the flexibility at the same time. And then meanwhile, President Rick Bailey has basically been reminding everyone that even though this is very sad and really hard, what is sadder and harder is closing the institution, which he says was the alternative. So this really is an existential question for SOU. And he has also been saying things like, what leader does SOU want to lead us through this? You know, he serves at the discretion of the board. He will follow the board's direction on that. So we'll have to see what ends up happening with that.
And as you mentioned earlier, we are part of SOU here at JPR. What effects will this have on us here at JPR?
Not a whole lot, to be honest, at this point. So JPR's main studios are located in a building on campus. JPR already pays for its employees' health insurance and salaries, as well as IT support. JPR paid to build its studios and offices on the university campus. So the plan says that Southern Oregon University will maintain the Federal Communications Commission licenses for JPR. Those FCC licenses are really important. But the change will be that any new hires for JPR will shift to being under the JPR Foundation rather than under SOU. SOU will pay for 15% of our executive director's compensation, and JPR will take over the rest of that. But JPR will remain in the campus studio building on campus, and we will be 99.3% self-sustaining by fiscal year 2027, which is great.
Okay. Well, what happens next, Jane?
Now it's really the real work of the implementation. So having the plan in place is kind of step one, but now they actually have to do it. And there are still a lot of questions about how exactly the implementation will work. How much it will cost is a big thing. There are a lot of details that still have to be ironed out this summer. There is an implementation schedule in the Vitality Plan, which sort of lays out what to do when. But there is a really quick timeline on this process. All of the work in this plan needs to be completed by next June, because that's when SOU is otherwise forecasted to run out of cash. So this all has to be done really quickly. There are still questions about who will be laid off and when. And then meanwhile, the institution is still trying to receive $15 million in emergency funding from the state. They're already set to receive the first half of that, which was released earlier this week. but the second half is supposed to be considered this fall. So it's really just a lot of work to be done in a very short timeline.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Jane. That's it for the debrief this week. Thanks for listening. You can reach the newsroom with comments on our coverage and suggestions of things we should cover in the future through our news tip line. That's on our website, ijpr.org. And you can find this program and more at jeffexchange.org or on your favorite podcast platform.